So we had a list of cases in our Mishnah. We're on Daf Mem Daled Amud Beis. A list of cases in our Mishnah in which the Chachomim created a situation in which a person would be Nishba and Notel, which runs counter to all of the Shavuos that we found in the Torah, where those Shavuos are always, whether it's Shavuos HaShomrim, or whether it's a Shavuos on a Meid of a Miktas, or whether it's a Shavuos on an Eid Echad. In all of those cases, the person who is being the Nishba, somebody's being toveya him, and he's defending himself, he makes a shua, and he potters himself from pain. And so we had, the Mishnah gave us a list, and we went through the list of the Safir, so the hired hand we spoke about yesterday, and the Gzal we spoke about yesterday, and Nechbal, somebody who was attacked by someone else. And today we're up to the next case, which was Shekenegdo Chashud Al Hashvua. So that's the last line, and the Mishnah continues. Shekenegdo chashud al hashvua ketzad. What would be the case where the Rabbanan allowed for somebody to be nishba v'notel if the person that he is suing cannot take a shvua because he's possible for a shvua ketzad? Hakach shvua ta'edut. Whether the reason that the person is nechshad is because he once made a shvua ta'edut that was improper. When he did know it is for a guy, or whether it was Shavuot HaPikadon, or even if it was a Shavuot Shav, where he had not harmed anybody else, he just, you know, he made one of those silly Shavuot using the Shem Hashem, that something that's obviously true is true, or obviously isn't true is true. And in that case, although he's not someone who is dangerous to society, but he becomes possible to make a Shavuot, because the Shavuot, he is somebody that isn't careful about his Shavuot. Or, Hayah Achad Mehem. When we say Achad Mehem, well, some actually don't have the Girsa Achad Mehem, because obviously it's only a reference to the Nidbar in this case. The guy was supposed to make the Shavua. He says, as Achad Mehem, this is supposed to the next case, which is talking about where both of them were Chashav al Hashvua. So if in this case the Nidbar was, let's say, a Mesachet Bekuvia, he makes his living off of dice playing, or he's a Malveb Ribit. We're talking about over here, even Ribit to Rabbanan. Or he's Mafri Chayonim. He's one of these guys what they have today is dog fighting with gambling on dog fighting. They had in those days or cock fighting. Today they had in those days a little bit gentler. This is a pigeon fighting. Doesn't sound so. This is actually racing. Pigeon racing. Yeah. So Chareishavi eat and the people that because of their desire for money are over on the Yisr of dealing with business in Shvius, with Shvius foods. So in those cases, we're choshesh that his desire for money will drive him to also be mezalzel and to make a shvua sheker. So in such a case, shekenegdo nishba v'notel, the other person, who in this case is the toveya, normally he would be dependent on the nidbaz giving over a shvua to potter himself. In this case, he's allowed to make a shvua and be notel. But how about hayushnehem chashudim? If both of them were chashud on the shvua, then chazra shvua l'nkoma divrei Rabbi Yosi. Then the shvua goes back to where it was. Now, one way of understanding that is that the person who should have made the shvua originally and can't is now in a position in which he's going to have to pay because he can't potter himself by making the shvua. But we'll see. There's another chat in the Gemara as well. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says in a case where you cannot have the shvua determine what the din is, so yachloku. They split the money in that case between the two of them. The next case that we had in the Mishnah was Hakenvani al Pinkaso. Now, when we say Hakenvani al Pinkaso, that doesn't mean that any time that a guy who has a makolet presents you with a bill, that bill is necessarily correct. He's talking about a case like as follows. Ketza, lo shiyom mar lomat, that he should stam, he should write the Ketuv al Pinkasi, shata kayavli matayim zuz. I don't know, but it's in... Oh, my God. But in my record, it says that you owe me $200. That's not the case. The case is that everyone is agreed that the Balabais told the Kenvani, give my son Satayim Pitim and put it on my bill. Or he says, look, I need change. I don't have any change. So he sends to the Kenvani, give my Poalim change, and I'll pay you a sela when I get there. I'll pay you back for the money you lay out and put it down in your books. Now he puts it down in his books, and all are agreed that it happened, that I requested him to do this. So, Tim Lepuali Selamos. Now, who Omer Natati? The defend when he says, okay, I did according to your instructions. Now, you obviously relied on me that if I tell you I did it, I mean, you're telling me to put out money. I'm not going to accept the tiner that these guys said they never got the money that I gave them. I mean, that's your problem. That's not my problem. But the palalim, or the child, is saying, I never got it. Lo natanu. So in that case, who nishba vinotel? The chenvani can be nishba vinotel because he can say, look, you trusted me to do it, and I trusted you. I mean, if you'll swear to me that they didn't get it, fine, then I'll have to accept your shvua. But you're, I mean, obviously you can't swear to me because you don't know. I'm telling you I gave it to them. If they want to turn around and swear to me, a shvua tesed, well, we never got it. I never got into any kind of relationship with them that I was willing to accept their mammonas on any level. I never would have given them anything. I gave it to you, basically. So therefore, he can make the shvua to the Baal HaBayit that asked him to lay out the money, and he takes from him. And then the palalim, they could say the same thing. The palalim can say, well, I mean, we don't know this envany from nothing. I mean, a guy may be a gangster. We know you. And you admit that you never paid us. So, you know, can you want to swear that you did pay us? I mean, you don't know whether you paid us or not. The fact that he's ready to swear that he paid us, that means nothing to us. So, hey, nishba in v'netlin, and they too are nishba, and they're notel from the Baal HaBayit, the money that he agrees that he owed them, and he's not arguing about that. Oma ben nanas. But how could we do such a thing? I mean, Kate said, we're going to create now a situation where two people are going to come to Bezdin, and between the two of them, there's vada going to be a shvua sheker. I mean, it doesn't make sense to create that kind of situation. So Kate said, elu ve'elu ba'in lidei shvuat shav. Elohu notel shelo b'shvua, ve'ein notlin shelo b'shvua. In this case, the fact is that there's no basis for anybody to have to swear, because after all, the Baal HaBayit did believe him and said to him that I'm going to accept what you say. In essence, that's what he said. By telling the Makolet man to lay out money for you, then clearly the interpretation of that relationship is that I accept upon myself to pay you back. And so therefore, he'll have to pay the Makolet man. The same thing is true of the Paralim. The Paralim never agreed to any change in their circumstances whereby they would be dependent on what the Makolet guy says. They said, did you pay us? No. Give us the money. And in that case, there'd be no Teshalot B'Shuva. In a similar vein. So that's an interesting thing. There's some that learn that it means that even if he doesn't have a Tainas Bori, that if he says, look, right now I don't remember the whole story. I remember, I only know I found in my books that I gave your Paulim X amount of money, and maybe you want to remind me of this story. So the guy says, well, I asked you to lay out money for my Paulim. So the friend, when he says, well, I did. Apparently, I mean, it's here in my pinkas. You know, I can't expect to remember every dime I lay out. That even there, we're going to be, in other words, normally we would have an issue of a time as Bori and a time as Shema. But over here, the Chenveri Ne'eman al Pinkaso would mean even with a time as Shema. That's how some Rishonim learned what Pinkaso means. Omar le Chenveri, in a case where he tells the Chenveri, Tein li bidinar perot, v'natan lo. He says, give me a buck worth of tomatoes. And the guy gives him the tomatoes. And then he says, where's my buck? Oh, Marlo, what do you mean? Where's the, I gave it to you, put in the cash register. So, I mean, this happens quite often where there's some confusion as to Yishavah Baal HaBayit Shiratan Lo Atat Dinar. In that case, the Baal HaBayit should swear that he paid the dinar already. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara that it's talking about over here that the perot were not muvzaki. In other words, they were basically standing outside in Rosh Hashanah. And as often happens, you got these crates of perot outside. And over here, since the Chenveri agrees that he sold the perot, so at this point, he therefore can swear the Baal HaBayit that he's already paid. And you can't make him pay again. Omar lo tein li etat perot, in the opposite case, where he says, well, give me the perot, here's the dollar. Omar lo netatim lotav, olatim lotov peitecha. What's the matter with you? You were here before. You took the perot. You told me you're going to bring a dollar back later. Now you're bringing the dollar back later. Now why are you taking the perot again? So in that case, yishavah chenvani. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol sha'aperot biyado, yado al ha'elyona. Whoever has the perot, he is the one that can sections of machlokas over here. Rashi learns that what he's saying over here, that although the Mishnah says the Baal HaBayit should swear that he already gave him the dinar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you don't even need a shvua. And his svara is that a chenvani who is selling for cash, and he's got stuff outside. He's not running a business with a credit system and so on. His derech is that he doesn't give payroll to people unless he's already gotten his money. So if the bag is sitting on the street now, then he wouldn't have put it down there unless he would have gotten his dinner, in which case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that there's no need for a shvua at all. And we'll see there's other interpretations based on our understanding of the Gemara later on about where exactly the payrots are. This is how Rashi learns. There's no need for a shvua. There's a basis, if Sfara, to say that he should be able to take the payrots without the shvua. Omar le shulchani, we have an equivalent case where a guy is going over to a banker, and he says to him, tain li bidinar ma'ot, I need change of a dollar. But not time long, the guy gives him change. And then he says, okay, give me the dollar. Omar lo, he says, what do you mean? I put the dollar down first, you put it in the cash register before you took out the change. Yishava ba'alabayit, in that case, the ba'alabayit should swear that he already paid, and he doesn't have to pay again. Natan lo atadinar. Now, if he gave over the dollar, and he says to the shulchan, can I have a change? Omar lo, what do you mean? I gave you the change first. You already dumped the change into your wallet. Yishava shulchani. In that case, the shulchani should swear. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Ein derech shulchani l'tein isar achi yitoldi nar. It's not the derech of a shulchani to give the change until he takes the coin. And therefore, there's no need for making a shvuah over here in the Reisha. Now, kishim she'amru, in exactly the same way that we have similar cases to this, where somebody has to make a shvuah when he's collecting money. So we have the case of hapogemet ketuvata. A woman comes along with a shtar. She's got a ksuva. But if she admits that some of it was paid, so as we already discussed before, lo tipara ela b'shvuah, she can only collect that ketuvah if she's also willing to swear that what she's asking for is indeed owed to her. And in a case where there's an eid echad that is made that the ksuva is parua, also, even though it's only an eid echad, and an eid echad can't stand against a shtar, nonetheless, she needs to make a shvua. And if she's coming to collect from the chasim mishu'ubadim, she's coming to collect now from property that had already been sold after the lien for the ktuba was on it. So now we're afraid that she's going to collect the property, and then they're going and she's collecting shaloka din because she already had the property, already had rather Moes from before. So lo tiparala b'shvua. And in a case where somebody is collecting from nechsei yetomim, lo tiparala b'shvua. Because when you collect from nechsei yetomim, they have no way of knowing whether the debt that you're collecting was already collected. Because after all, their father has died. He didn't give them over all of his detailed papers that they're going to know that this particular loan maybe was paid back and the guy only has the shtar because he was keeping the shtar in order to be able to collect the moment of the sofer, let's say, which is illegal. You know, you can say, until you pay me the cost of writing the shtar, I'm not going to give it back to you. So they have no way of knowing that. They have no taina. And therefore, since they get no protection, so we make a takana that you can only collect for them if you're willing to take a shvua about it. And again, we talked about this earlier. Vani Prat Shalob Fanav, someone who is received a get from overseas. So the husband is not here, and she's trying to collect her ketubah. So she can collect, but she can only collect with a shvua that the husband hadn't given her a bank account in particular that was meant to be paid off for her. So this is now the conclusion of the kishem. Kishem, shamru, all of this. Kain hayitomim, so too, even yitomim that are coming now to be porei akol. And we'll see in the Gemara, this means that these are yitomim that are coming to be poreah from another set of yitomim. Lo yifru ela b'shvu'ah. They can only collect if they make a shvu'ah. And you say, well, what kind of shvu'ah can they make? I mean, the whole point that when we make a collection from a yasam, that you need a shvu'ah to collect, is that you're vada'i on what the situation is, because the yitomim that you're collecting from have no way of knowing. But if you're going to say that a yatom, who's doing the collecting, has to swear, how could he possibly swear if that was the whole point, that he doesn't really know? So what is the shvuah that he swears? What he swears is the following, that shvuah, shelo pakadnu aba, our father did not tell us on his deathbed, or lo amar lanu aba, at no time in his life did our father mention, or lo matzino ben shtarotov shel aba, nor did we find between our father's papers, shishtar zeparua, that the shtar that we are presenting to you was already paid. We can't say more than that, because we don't know more than that. But that much we can tell you. Says Now, and even in a case, even in a case where nolada ben liachar mitata av, if the son was born after the father died, in which case, he can't really say, my father never told me, he never saw his father. But, so when we make the shvua, it doesn't mean he has to make the shvua on all of the above, that I didn't hear and I didn't, even one of the above, so he could still make the shvua that he didn't find any papers in his father's affairs that indicated that he's collecting wrongly. So, Harez and Nishba Venotel, he too would be a Nishba Venotel. Yeah, sure, of course, sure. Omer Shimon ben Gamliel, im yesh edim, she'amar ha'av b'sha'at mitato, shtar ze eno parua, hu notel shalo b'shvua. If we have witnesses that the father said on his deathbed that this shtar should be collected and wasn't paid, then it's not necessary to make a shvua, because then the guy has said, he said, this is the last word that he's leaving us with. Ve'elu nishba'im shelo b'tana. Now the truth is, this is already a completely different mission, it's a completely different topic. The following, now that we've talked about the ones who are nishba'im v'notlin, we also talk about a category of shvua, which is shvua without a clear-cut ta'ana. And it's similar to the idea of the Yitzomim. Because when the Yatom is collecting from a Yatom, I mean, nobody really knows what's going on. But we make a shvua just to make sure that we have the best possible protection that we can. Now, there's even a whole class of things in which you can't really know. And therefore, you can't possibly come along and say, look, you know, I know for a fact that you cheated me on this and this. Say you've got a partner. The partner, he works in the office all the time. You have no way. You know, if you don't trust your partner, then no amount of paperwork and hashgachot and so on are going to make certain that the guy doesn't embezzle some of your money. So the problem is in cases where there are partnerships that break up and now people don't trust each other. They have no recourse really to prove anything, but they're very queasy about the whole thing. They don't believe that this was done honestly, and you want to know that the person didn't cheat you. So Chazal made a takana in certain cases where people are vulnerable and yet have no way of making a tviyah, that they can get a shvua out of the other party when they're breaking up. The following, when we say shalom b'ta'ana, it doesn't mean without the guy demanding the shvua, it means without his having a clear-cut reason for the shvua. But he's upset, he wants a shvua. So if you have shutafim, or arisin, of course, is sharecropping, where again, I mean, like the guy is supposed to be giving you, you know, 25% of the crop, how are you ever going to know what it is that he kept for himself? And when, or apotropin, where somebody was appointed as an executor or a guardian, and he's got like free shlita of the checkbook and so on. A woman who has set up with a business in the house and has access, basically, to all of her husband's money. Uben Habayit. And the other case would be where you have one of the Ben Habayit, usually is the oldest brother, in the case where there's an estate, and one of the brothers is active in business, and he does business for the other brothers. And all of these cases, the common denominator is that there is a reason for the person to be Meira Heter and to take extra money for himself. Because in all of the cases, he feels, look, you know, I'm doing this for the other guy. I really worked a lot more than I should have. A lot of other people do this kind of stuff. They work half as much and they get double. You know, what's the difference if I take a little extra cut here, a little extra cut there? There's always a grounds for the guy giving Malamed Heter on him. So I can do this. And therefore, we make a shvua. How does this work? My loaf, the partner, the other brothers, whatever the case would be, says, what exactly are you saying? I mean, what are you saying that I took from you? And the other guy doesn't have to have the ta'anini. He can simply say, I just want you to swear that you didn't do anything illegal here and take advantage of me. Then he's fired. But once the split already occurred, and at the time there was no demand for an accounting of this level with the shvua, and they accepted on face value the accounts. They were already choku ashutafim. So they split up the partnership, each one took the amount that was coming to him, or the arisut was split, or any of the other cases. At that point, he can no longer be mashbia. Him having not taken advantage of this at the time that they were making their accounts, you can't come back later and say, now I got suspicious. However, you can if there was some other case in which that person was chayav you were shvur for something else. You can make a gilgo shvur and say, well, once you're chayav to swear for me, I now have my suspicions about how you were nohig during all those years when I trusted you. Now, you know, now I see, you came to chayav shvur to me. I want you to make a shvur b'gilgo. So then we do, in fact, mechayevin, in the galgalina lavatako, we have this guy make a shvur also on the other stuff. And the last thing that the Mishnah tells us is a very fascinating halacha, that because a shvur is essentially what's left of the loan. Now, let's say the guy says, I already paid you 50 shekel of your 100 shekel loan. And at this point, you're supposed to make a shvur. So he's being motivated to mix us. In the same way that the loan will be mishumat on shvias, the shvua that takes the place of the payment of the loan will be mishumat on shvias. So hashvi'it, mishamet is a shvua. Says the Gemara, kol hadish ba'in.
There was a woman, who's claiming from the woman?
The husband. The husband is saying, how do I know you didn't take advantage of me?
Husband from the woman, the wife.
Hard to believe in modern marriages, but yes. the idea of joint accounts was not all that common. The woman had her own accounts, the man had her own accounts. I mean, it's
The oldest son, his father can say something.
Not the father, the brothers.
The brothers.
The father died, and one of the brothers is more of a businessman than the others. He's called the Ben Abayin. So he's working on behalf of the estate.
No,
all of these have to be retroactive up until the point where they break up, where they split the estate. And now they're coming to split the estate. No. I didn't see. But now that we're splitting the accounts evenly, I just want you to swear to me that you did everything honestly. He doesn't have a tiny. If he had a tiny, then it would be like any other tiny.
What is
the Shvua Mishamet? Shvius is Mishamet. In the same way that a loan, the same way that I had a loan today, Erev Shvius.
Right.
Then once it's Shvius, now the Shvius may be Mishamet.
Right.
So same too, if I have a Chiyav Shvua on that loan, so the Shvius is Mishamet, that's Shvua. It says the Gemara, the Mishnah began by saying, Kol HaNishba'im Shabbat Torah, Nishba'im V'lo Mishalmim. Now, how do we know that the nature of the Shvua in the Torah is specifically to potter yourself from payment? That's because it says v'lakak ba'alav v'lo yishalem. The whole parshas of shvua, yishvuas Hashem tiyed ben shnehem im lo shalach yadom im lechet reyehu v'lakak ba'alav v'lo yishalem. So what does that mean? The baalim should take the shvua in lieu of the payment that they're demanding, which means that the one who would have had to make the payment is now paying, so to speak, with the shvua that he's making, and that's all that the baal is going to get out of him. In which case, misha lav l'shalem lo shvua, the guy that was supposed to be making the payment, he is the one that has to take the shvua to pater himself. Ve'elu nishba'im v'notli. Now, this first case is a very strange case. Somebody is hired. The fellow who hired him claims to have paid him. The man claims not to have been paid. For some reason, we give him the right to swear that he wasn't paid and he can collect. Seems extremely arbitrary. So ask the Gemara, Maishna Sakhir, Titakina Le Rabbana Dimishtabea Bishakil. Why would the Rabbana have made such a takana that a man can make a shvua and take money from somebody else? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Halachot Gidolot Shanuka. These are very fundamental halachot. Well, what are you talking about, halachot? What halachot? Ani yukataninu, these aren't halachot. I mean, halachot means some kind of halachot mishinai, you know perfectly well, this is takana of the days of Nachman. I mean, how do you call it halachot gidolot? No, sorry, we don't mean, of course, not halachot. We mean, takanot gidolot shaduka. What is that supposed to mean? Takanot gidolot shanu. I mean, there's some takanot that are gidolot and some takanot that are ktanot. And the takanot here, what do you mean? Now, the Maitre Tosis points out that there are cases where we do say takana gidola hitkinu. A number of places we use it. We make a very important takana, and whatever reason it's important. Tosis says the problem over here is that had it said takana gedola hitkinu, that would have been fine. The takana was for a very important purpose. That's what a takana gedola would mean. What do you mean takana gedola shanuta? We're writing down a great takana. We're writing down a takana. The reasons for the takana may be very good reasons, but that's not part of why you're writing it down in the Mishnah. So the whole lashon of shanuka, the Gemara just objects to the way we're using our words loosely over here. What do you mean takanot gedolote? As if to say there's some takanot that are ktanot. El amr of Nachman, amr Shmuel, the meaning over here is takanot kibuot shanuka. What we have over here is a takana that we were koveya, not on the particular case. I mean, sometimes you can say that there's an indication in the case that there's a reason for us to do this. But what we did is we made this permanent. We made it kavua. And what did they do? Akrua Rabbanan l'shvua mi ba'al habayit. The Rabbanan took off the chiyuv of the shvua from the ba'al habayit, which would normally have been the case if the ba'al habayit says, I already paid. So there would have been a shvua's heset on him to pay. But in this case, the Rabbanan didn't give the shvua's heset on him to pay, or, for that matter, shvua d'oraisa, if he would have said, I paid part. The shadyur ha-sakhir mishum kidei chayav. They gave the sakhir the right to make that shvua, because after all, the sakhir's life is dependent on this little bit of money, and we can't allow him to be vulnerable to a ba'al habayit is making a mistake. Says the Gemara, well, what kind of takana is that? Mishum kidei chayav the sakhir, katsina lei ba'al habayit? I mean, who cares? I mean, we care very much, but what are we supposed to, how can we take care of one person's parnasah by hurting another person's rights? We're going to put the ba'al habayit in a position in which this person can unfairly make an accusation that he wasn't paid, make a shvua, and collect. Because, well, I mean, what do you want? It's a nevach. I mean, what's he going to do? Well, it's a nevach, but I mean, what about justice? What about fair play? How can we do that?
Why is ba'al habayit chayav at all? He's denying the whole...
He would be chayav shvuas hesed in that case, in Rabbanan. Yeah, right.
So what,
but this would be true even on a d'oraisa.
It's not such a big fiddish. Rabbanan taking a part from one person.
Well, it is, because I'm giving you a right to take money from me. That I make the shvuas hesed, I protect you that you don't have to pay money. Except I force you to be very honest about it. But over here he's going to have to pay if the other guy makes the shvuas.
I understand that, but still, it's not such a... All I'm saying is it's not as big a deal that the home just taking it over from one person to the other person. I understand somebody is going to be for their money.
I don't know. I don't see that. In one case, if you create a shvua which a person is not going to ever be put in a position which he loses something. The only thing he's going to lose is that he has to make the shvua.
Right.
That's one thing. But to give somebody else the power over you by allowing him to use a shvua against you and you have no defense, that's a completely different issue. And that's the Gemara saying, well, where do we come off doing that? What you're talking about is the mechanism. Having already created a mechanism, the mechanism. But the morality of it is still just the shocking. I mean, how do we make a shvua that was meant for protection and use it now against somebody? Not to mention that this is true of a shvua d'oraisa as well. In other words, if the guy was chayav, it would have been mitzvah. So how could that be? Says the Gemara, Mishum kidei chayav the sakhir. Tansina lei la'bal habayit. Well, ba'al habayit gufa nechalei. See, actually, the ba'al habayit is really happy that the sakhir should be able to get his money, because if he's going to get into these kind of arguments with workers, and people have a tendency to stick to their guns about these things, so deep down, it's better for him that we don't allow him to stick to his guns. Because it's important for him to have access to people who are going to be willing to work for him. You could say just the opposite. You could say, Adarab, the sakhir is happy that the ba'al habayit should be able to make a shvua that he already paid and not have to pay, because if he pays twice, he's never going to hire him again. And he's going to blacklist him. He's going to tell everybody, don't hire this guy, because, you know, he'll come to you all of a sudden, he'll claim he didn't pay him, and he's a hassle. Forget about him. So, I mean, you could make the same argument in the other direction, couldn't you? So he has to legally ba'al habayit. Yeah, but the ba'al habayit really has no choice. I mean, he needs workers, doesn't he? So the ba'al habayit, al korfei odar. Yeah, and the worker, he does have a choice. He needs to eat. What kind of as far as that? So the sokanami al korfei nidgar. He needs the money as much as the ba'al habayit needs the worker. The truth is that ba'al habayit tarud bepo'alavu. It's because of the fact that the ba'al habayit easily can get confused, because normally he's got a lot of business, actually the Lashon of the Yerushalmi is not Ta'ud before Allah, because that's mashma that he needs more than one worker in order for this to click in, which isn't true. All it says in the Yerushalmi is Ba'alabayit Asakav Merubim. He's got a lot of issues on his head, you know. He's paying suppliers, and he's taking care of his bank accounts, and so on. The Sakhir, he's got one issue on his head. I'm working, I want my money. So because he's Tarud before Allah, and this is why it's a Shvuot, because as Tosis points out, Lamaisa, even in a case where he isn't, and even in a case where he doesn't have any other workers, and you'd think that there was no basis for such a Takana, that's the Pshat, that it's Takanot Shvuot. We made this as a low plug. This is common, that the Sakhir is going to be put into a position with a guy who's got a lot of things on his head, and he's handling his cell phone. He's got two cell phones, one in each hand, and he's trying to talk to the guy. You, what's the name there? Smith, John. I took care of you. What are we talking about? I took care of you. And it's like nothing to him. Whereas the poor John Smith, it's his life. So therefore, we made this takana because of that. Says the Gemara. So then if that's the case, if you really believe that this guy is simply confused, why does he have to take a shvuah, the Sakhir? If you're saying that Lamaisa, we're going to view the taina of the Sakhir as a bori, and the taina of the Balabayat as saying, well, really, ain't he odea, so then why would he have to swear at all? No, that's kidei lafiz da'atosha Balabayat. I mean, in a case where a guy is saying, look, don't give me this mishigas, I know for a fact, I paid, I don't get confused, I'm telling you 100% absolutely, I did pay, that nonetheless, we make the takana, but in order that there shouldn't be a sense that we just take advantage of it, and calling him a confused guy without having any kind of legal procedure, so maybe we make the guy take a shvuah, and thereby together, we add up the whole thing. That was ultimately the Balabai doesn't want to get into this type of deep kind of machlokas about it in a real sense. There is a much greater sense of his possible confusion about it. And the Sakhir, there's certainly good reason to believe that the guy did get confused. Well, why don't, instead of doing it like that, why don't we simply make a takana that you should never pay a workman without witnesses? No way, you won't come to this. It's a little strange to make a takana to pay and then to have a new takana of a shvua. We could avoid the whole thing, isn't it? So, basically, the Edim. That's Rikling Nielsen. It's very difficult. We make a takana. The guy wants to get money. There's nobody around. We're going to have to wait. We're going to bust people in. It ruins really the ability for a person to have easy working relationships. Well, why not basically make kara? Why not make the standard to pay in advance? You pay in advance. So that way, if a guy will come and say, well, I wasn't paid, he'll say, look, I mean, you know that the standard is that everybody's paid. If you want to prove that I didn't pay you and that you came to work without getting paid, then bring witnesses. And that way we'd avoid this. That's because Shnehem Rotzim Bahakafa. Both parties would not want such a takana. The workman does not want to be paid in advance because then he's going to use his wages on beer and Coca-Cola. And the Balabai doesn't want to pay in advance. I mean, first of all, and maybe the guy's going to walk out in a minute. And it's difficult sometimes to get money right away in the morning when you're hiring a person like this. Yes, he can wait until the bank opens, he gets money, and it makes life much easier for him. That's not a good takana. But then, if the reason is what you're saying, that the Balabai can easily get confused, so then afilu katsatsnami, then even if the machlokas is about how much the wages were, what was the agreement, we should also say, well, look, you know, he's got 100 workers, he easily got confused, he doesn't remember, then he made a deal with me to pay me this and this, which is indeed more than he usually pays, but I made it clear to him that I'm worth the extra money, and he agreed, now he forgets. And yet the din is...
He's like daily workers.
Why then does it say that if the craftsman said the deal was you're paying $2, and the Balabayat says no, the deal was $1, that this is a standard case of Amotzi Mechaveru Olav Araya? I mean, why isn't this a takana? That, well, you got mixed up, and I know. No, because Ktitavara Mitka Defiri. Like, people, on the contrary, I mean, a businessman is very aware of what deals he makes with people. He's not going to get confused about that. He doesn't care about whether he paid you or not very much. But he certainly cares about what kind of deal he made with you. Oh, yes, that he does care about. So, the Mela, that's not reasonable to say that something remembers and the Balabaya doesn't remember. So, the Gemara, but if this is the case, so then the Okia Filua Barzman Onani. If we're afraid that the guy is honestly confused, so then what's the difference when the software comes to collect. And yet it does say that it makes a tremendous difference. Alo Natanya, why does it say in the Braisa that Avaz Manov Alo Natanlo, Arei De'eno Nishba Benotel? If the time, when we say Avaz Manov, we mean the time that the Torah gave you, which is the guy works during the day, so you have the entire night to pay him. If he works during the night, you have the entire day to pay him. Once that time is over, then already it says that the Safir is not believed. Now why wouldn't he be believed? Why isn't it just as likely that the Balabayat got confused? Whenever the time was, if that's really the reason, was his confusion, and yet it says Avaz Manov Alo Natan Reizeinu Nishba Benotel. Well, that's because Chazaka in Balabayat Over Bebal Talin. No, but what do you think that this Balabayat is going to be over and it's going to be right, so not paying him the money? Well, you say he gets mixed up. I mean, I'm the Balabayat Tarut before Alavu. You said he got confused and he thinks he did pay. Okay, he gets confused then, but how do you mean to limit his man for you? But Gimati's man for you, Rami Anakshu Mitka, obviously, that's only where he doesn't feel a tremendous pressure. I paid you, but then the nicer, he sits down, and it's getting now till the end of the day, and he thinks, you know, I better make sure I'm not going to be over on any Yisurin. Did I really pay that guy? Actually, you know what, I think I didn't pay him. So then, already, if there was no Tviyah, then the Balabai does know. Suppose it points out, and that's a little bit crazy, so instead of making a Takana, that the guy should be able to collect the Shua. Let's say, okay, wait till the night time, and then we'll see. If the guy is Rabbi Anafshes, then he's not Torah to Paula, and we won't believe you with the Shua. How could we possibly say that we're going to believe the guy with the Shua instead of waiting until the end of the day when the guy will be Rabbi Anafshes? Because this is the obvious answer.
You're worried that he will be, I mean, at the end of the day, no? And then maybe over on Baltali, no?
No. No, we're saying we're not going to be over on Baltali. But Tosfos says the obvious answer, which is that the din that a person will be aimed on the MS is only where he hasn't already made a commitment not to be aimed on the MS. Once he's already said, I didn't pay you, he'll never figure out that he did pay him. So if they never discussed the issue before, and now it's the end of the day, we believe that the guy would not have gotten confused. But if you wanted your money now, right after the job was completed, and the guy says, I already paid you, he is not going to be able to remember that he didn't pay him. Because having once made a statement, you tend to stick by it.
That's the whole thing of psychologists for creating memories.
Right, exactly. You get a person to say something, or there's the famous screen in which you show an object. Actually, Mesilsi Sharon bases his analysis of Hoshek on this. You show people an object that's very fuzzy, you gradually bring it into focus. So someone who makes a wrong identification early on only gets the right identification much later than the people that identified it only when it came fully into focus. Not fully, I mean, but I'd say a guy who didn't make a commitment to the wrong thing will see it, let's say, at 70% focus. Whereas the guy who made the commitment to the wrong thing won't see it until it's 90% in focus. Okay, this is the same idea as over here, right? So having once made a commitment to something, you tend to reinforce it. We just had a Gemara. Just had another Gemara like this. Takana, we're stuck with this Takana in this case. Says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. You're saying that we're going to rely that the Balabayat certainly wouldn't be over on Bal Talin. So what are you saying then, that the Sakhir would be over on Bal Tigzol? I mean, you could say it's just as unlikely that the Sakhir is going to steal money that isn't coming to him as it is that the other person is going to be over on an Isidi Rice and not paying. True, but Gabi Balabayat, he could trade Hazaki. When it comes to the Balabayat, in that case, when it's already after the time, there's two things in his favor. First of all, the Ein Balabayat Over Bebal Talin, and second of all, the Ein Sakhir Mashet Skaro. Why does the guy all of a sudden now come to be paid? Nobody waits that long to get paid. Why didn't he ask for his money before? So therefore, put those two things together, we no longer have a reason to go after the Balabayat. Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, this whole discussion in the Mishnah is Lo Shanu Ela Shesacharo Be'edim. It's only if there were witnesses that he actually worked for the guy. But suppose the whole relationship never had any witnesses. Secharo shelo be'edim. Then, mitok sheyachol lomar lo lo sechartifa mi'olam. Since he has a migu in which he would be able to say, I don't know who you are. I never, ever hired you as a worker. And then what would you do? Well, we certainly can't be machayev him to pay as somebody that he says he doesn't even know him. So he could also say, yeah, of course I hired you, but you know I paid you. Natati lechaskorcha. And Rav Yitzchak said, that's very good that you're quoting that in Shmuel's name. Yasher, because Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. Why are you saying Rabbi Yochanan, not Rish Lakish? And here we have that same, Rish Lakish argue. How the polygamy Rish Lakish? So some say, and it should be in reverse over here, some say Misha Avishayle, Vishasikle. Some say that Rish Lakish used to wait until Rabbi Yochanan got a chance to think over before he went out on the attack. And Ikari Ami Mishta Avishasikle. Others say that Rish Lakish was in the middle of one of his drinks, and he was quiet because he was drinking, and Rabbi Yitzchak walked out and never heard the conclusion. But in any event, we're not sure about what Rish Lakish holds. Now, we do know what Shmuel holds, we do know what Rabbi Yochanan holds. And we have, from Rav, actually, a similar psak. If Varnami Omer Benashe Bar Zvid Omer Rav, Lo Shana Malo Shesachro Be'edim, Avo Sachro Shalo Be'edim, Mitov Shiyachod Ulmalo Lo Sechaticha Me'olam, Yachod Ulmalo Sechaticha Minatati Lachas Chalcha. If there's no witnesses, the guy could just as easily have said, I never saw you before in my life, and therefore he has a need to say, yes, listen, I'm an honest man, I did hire you, and I paid you. Omer Rami Bar Thomas, Rami Bar Thomas said, Kama Maya Hashmaisi. That really makes such good sense. Now I feel much better about the whole sugya. It bothered me. That's brilliant. Omar Rava, so Rava says to Rami Bar Choma, my Mal Yusa, what's so brilliant about that? Actually, I thought it was pretty dumb. Because in Gange was a shaman, the Fiyav Rachmona, the Mashkafasla. If you believe what Rabbi Shmuel just said, or believe that Rabbi Shmuel said that, how do you understand Shvuas HaShomer? The Torah said that a Shomer takes a Shvuah. He has to take a shvuah. Why? Why can't he just say, you? I never got anything from you. So he talks to Yochol Marlo lo ayud varim me'olam. Yochol Marlo nansu. Why can't he say, look, it's not my fault, something happened. Why does he have to make a shvuah? That's simple. Why can't we say, talking about that he gave him with Adam? Same thing we're saying over here. Maybe in Afinami. Maybe Shvuat HaShomrim is Dafka Da'afkid Leibe Adim. Okay, even if he gave him with Adam, can he still say, yeah, of course, but I gave that back to you. How would he be able to make a tviyah? You say, I gave it back to you long ago. Nothing happened to it. You have it. So if he's being honest and he's saying, no, I did have it, but, you know, something happened to it that was through no fault of my own, then he should be believed with an eagle. Well, but still, it could work out throughout the Shomrim in a case where he wrote out a shtar. Suppose he writes out a shtar, received from so-and-so one Ming Dynasty vase, right? And now the other guy still has that shtar. And he says, so where's my vase? So what's the guy going to say? Give it back to you. So I gave it back to you. Well, why do I still have the star? I gave it back to you. You would have taken back the star. So clearly I didn't give it back to you. So in that case, if he says, well, you know, the doggy broke it, and so on, so in that case, you're going to get into the question of Shvuah, but maybe Ein Hachinami. Without that, not. Now, by the way, none of this stands, Lahalor. Yeah, in other words, you do not need to have these kind of riots to take Shvuat HaShomrim. Why is it being Machlok Zashom, Machlok Zashom, which we'll discuss later, but basically we don't say Amigo Kenegad Shvuat HaShomrim for whatever reason. Now, Michlal, but can we see, interestingly, in the course of this conversation, that everybody seems to agree, in other words, Rami Bacham and Rav Amen, but we got down to that Hamakir Etzu Chavero Be'edim and Ein Tzarech Lachzir Lo Be'edim. It's because nobody said, well, it wouldn't have helped. If you had Adam, it wouldn't have helped to say that you gave it back, because where's the Adam that you gave it back? Nobody said that. So apparently that's okay. Even if the Shomrim was a relationship created in the presence of witnesses, you wouldn't have had to give it back in front of witnesses. And furthermore, we see that nobody argued about what the implications of having a star would be. And if you created a relationship with a star, then you would need to have proof that you had given it back. Now, Rami Bar Choma said about Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes really went to look into this issue, even though nobody had spoken to him about it. I mean, a lot of people here that were involved, Rav Nachman was quoting Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak was quoting Rav Yochanan, and then we had Rav Nashim Bar Zvid quoting Rav. Rami Bar Choma was discussing it with Rava. Rav Sheshes was basically out of the picture. Nonetheless, Rav Sheshes was the one who set his heart on finding out whether it's really true what Rav and Shmuel said. And Rami Bar Choma applied to Rav Sheshes the pasuk that says, Vayasem David et advarim ha'elu bilvavo, and the pasuk continues, Vayera ma'od b'pnei akish melech gat. Now this was the time that David HaMelech was running away to God, and he ends up pretending that he's insane, which of course we still have the Tehillah about that. And the reason that he ended up pretending that he was insane is because he overheard a conversation, which wasn't really meant for his ears, in which the king, Achish, is being told by the people that are bringing David in, you know, this is the guy that they say about him, that he was Harag B'Rivavosav, and Shaul was only Harag B'Alafav, and David takes this very much to heart, and he says, oh, this is not good. right? And he immediately
does his thing
to persuade the guy that he's a madman. So you see that sometimes, even though you're not the object of a discussion, you need to be the one that takes it to heart and gets involved in it. And what happened was that Rav Sheshes met Rabbah by Shmuel, and he said, Amalei, Tani Mar Midi B'Sachir, did you have any limud about the Sachir, Amalei? Tani No Sachir B'Zmano Nishba V'Notel, that if it's at the time that he's supposed to be paid, so then he can make a Shmuel. Ketzar, B'Zman She'amar Lo Sechar Tani V'Lo Natata L'Sachari. He says, you hired me and you never paid me. And the other guy says, yeah, I did hire you, Sechar Ticha. But natati l'cha scharcha, I paid you. Aval omar lo shtayin tatzatzteli. On the other hand, if he says, we made a deal to pay me $2 an hour, and the other guy says, no, we made a deal, it was only $1 an hour, lo katzatzti l'cha ela achat, then we say, amotim mechaviro alav ha-ra'aya. Now, if we're saying amotim mechaviro alav ha-ra'aya on the sefer, tainad ripsheshes, so that means that the first case, where we say that a sochir can swear bizmano, then the nishba, the notel, means that there is no raya. In other words, apparently, he does not need to bring a din, which is against what both Rav and Shmuel said. And the truth is, if you take a look at the language, I mean, the language is, you hired me, and the guy says, yes, I did hire you. Mashma, that they're talking between themselves, not that we have, a raya that's involved here. And indeed, the first mention we make of a raya is at the end, where over there we say, well, in that case, we are arguing about how much he wants. Let's look for agents. Apparently, up until now, we don't have any agents. That means that this discussion was said even where the guy would have had a migo to say, I don't know who you are, I never hired you. So Lechora, Rav and Shmuel are wrong. Omrim Nachum by Yitzchak. Well, it's a beautiful diyuk, but it really doesn't hold. Because, I mean, obviously, there's two different levels to the raya over here. I mean, there's the raya that we're saying the sefer, which is Amosi v'chaver lo v'raya, meaning we will not accept the Shmuel, we will only accept Aiden. And then there's the raya that could be really underneath the whole issue over here, which is, do I have to collect with a shvua because there's a raya that the relationship of the shvua existed? I mean, that's obviously a completely different level of raya. We're not discussing that, but we say motzi b'chaver lo v'raya. Because in a relationship, you don't need a raya to be motzi, you'll need a shvua. But you may still need a raya that you were a tachir. That's not a raya to be motzi. So I don't see how you can compare the two. So really, raya the sefer b'raya, I mean, they both may be talking about that Aiden were involved, but of course they weren't involved to say he wasn't paid. They were involved only to say that he was hired. And the difference is that motzi b'chaver lo v'raya is a raya l'shaleim katani. We're talking about, in the case of the sefer, you're going to have to bring a raya to get paid. Whereas when we talk about the raya that enables you to collect if you make a shvua, I mean, that's, we're not talking about that raya. Raya de shvua lo katani. And therefore, here, we may just be taking for granted that we have the basis to say that there were Adam that were involved. Because otherwise, I mean, why would we have made such a background?